This morning we are in for a treat. The minister of the word this morning will be Minister Luther Washington. We know him, we love him, we know that God has given him his spirit, his word, and this is a man that loves the word of God and is a proclaimer of the word of God. And so at this time, we're going to turn it over to him at this time to let God use him as God would see fit to use him. Minister Washington.
Amen. Good morning, everyone on the line. It is indeed a blessing from the Lord to be able to speak with you one more time. We want to give honor first and foremost to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to give honor to Pastor Jay. We give honor to Sister Valerie. We want to give honor to Pastor Emeritus Hargrove and his beautiful wife. We want to give honor to all of our members and visiting friends on the line. It is indeed a blessing to see another day and to also be able to share what God would have us to share with you all one more time. We don't intend to hold you long this morning. If you could, turn in your Bibles to James, the Epistle of St. James, and we're going to begin our reading at the second chapter and the 14th verse. Again, James, second chapter, 14th verse. Amen. Book of James, chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 14. Amen. And it reads, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone." I read for your consideration the second chapter of James, verses 14 through 17. May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his word. Don't want to hold you long this morning, but we do want to give a few words of encouragement from the Lord. And the title will be, "Do Your Best and God Will Do the Rest." Do your best and God will do the rest. In this day and age, the things that we've seen on the news and we've seen just in our day-to-day lives as we navigate through life, the things that were mentioned, the prayer requests that were submitted on this line and the prayers that were rendered, they deal with very real modern subjects. The hymn writer wrote the hymn, "A Charge to Keep I Have of God to Glorify." We all know that hymn, but there's a very powerful line or stanza in that hymn that says, "To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill." Well, we are living in the present age. We see that we have issues and some things that we have absolutely or seem to have no control over. But the Lord is in control of everything. A friend of mine and I were talking the other day, and we were just kind of discussing the state of not only the United States, but the state of the entire planet. We have things that are out of our control, and we must have faith. But there are other things that are within our control, and we have to get to work and do those things. Things such as COVID-19. Well, there's a measure of control that we have as far as, you know, us navigating through that as best we can. But as far as a vaccine and things of that nature, we have to have faith. There are a lot of protests going on in our country. Again, there are a few things, there are things that we can do to try to, I guess, minimize our possibility of having trouble dealing with that and the racial unrest in our country. But again, a lot of that, we have to have faith in the Lord. The economy, again, there are things that we can do with our own personal finance to try to, I guess, mitigate the damage to our lives. But again, we have to have faith in God. Hurricanes. friend of mine and I, we were talking the other day about the hurricanes that are coming. We've just entered hurricane season. There are things that we can do to try to, as best we can, prevent or minimize damage to our personal lives. But again, we have no control of these hurricanes. That's a God production. And as my friend and I were talking, we were just kind of, you know, laying out all of the different trials and tribulations of the present age. And I kind of jokingly mentioned, you know, we've got natural disasters, we have physical, we have mental problems, we have racial problems. I was saying that the only problem that we seem to not have to deal with right now are threats from outer space. Well, it turns out that last Saturday night at 11:20, there was a huge asteroid, and they named it, I guess, 2002 NN4, that at 11:20 last Saturday night, it flew, you know, not too far from Earth. So, again, we don't have control of certain things, and that's where, thankfully, as Christians, we're able to turn it over to God through faith. But what James is saying here in this passage of Scripture is we have to have faith, but we also have to do work. In all of our lives, we have ambitions and things that we're trying to accomplish. If we want to get in shape, let's just say, for instance, yes, we have to have faith that it can be accomplished, but we must do work. There are things that God put under our control as far as making that happen. We want to have better eating habits. Well, again, yes, Lord, help me to resist eating a dozen cookies late at night. But at the same time, I have to go ahead and put in the work to make sure I have the discipline to maybe not go by Publix in the jelly section and grab those Heath Bar cookies, which are very delicious. If we want another job or maybe a promotion, yes, pray to the Lord to lead us and guide us and order our steps. But at the same time, there's a certain measure of work that we have to put into it so that we can position ourselves to maybe be considered for that. For our students and, you know, anyone who's seeking maybe education or trying to educate themselves in any type of issue, whether it's better grades or things of that nature, yes, we go to the Lord in prayer first, but at the same time, we're thankful that the Lord allows us a measure of control as far as work to get those things done. God desires for us to have the things that we want, but at the same time, we must work for those things. Now, some of the things we ask for, the Lord says, no, it's not for you. And sometimes accepting the answer no or simply having patience, that can be a task in and of itself. So as we have faith, we also must ask God to lead us and guide us and be willing to do the work. I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture where Jesus dealt with different people, but he also, in addition to their faith, he put them to work. By putting us to work, we're thankful to the Lord that he allows us to have a certain amount of destiny in our own hands, and that highlights our individuality, and for that I'm so thankful. But at the same time, we do our best, and after that, God will do the rest. We're reminded of Jesus healing the lame man. He told him his faith healed him, but at the same time, after I heal you, now you get to work, you take up your bed and walk. I'm not going to take up your bed for you. In John 9, chapter 11, verse, he healed a blind man by mixing up a concoction on the ground of some, I guess, some spittle, and he created like a mud salve and rubbed on the man's eyes. Now, the faith healed the man, but at the same time, Jesus put the man to work and told him, you go wash your eyes. I'm not going to wash the mud out of your eyes for you. Matthew 5:27, the woman with the issue of blood was the perfect example of the marriage of faith and work because the Bible says she pressed her way through the crowd to get to Jesus. And I'm sure that crowd of big burly men was not easy to press through, but this little woman, she had a mind made up. She had the faith. Now she put her leg muscles and quad muscles and back muscles and, you know, she navigated and bobbed and weaved through the crowd and got to Jesus. And I don't know if she got close enough to embrace him and grab him, but she got close enough to just swipe his jersey, if you will. She touched the hem of his garment, and by that, she was made whole. So she was another example of faith, but at the same time, you can't stand on the outskirts and hope you can get to him. You have to press your way through. Mark 5th, chapter 41st verse, Jesus brought the daughter of Jairus back to life. Jairus' faith and his family's faith allowed Jesus to get there and do the work to to heal the young lady and resurrect her. But at the same time, Jesus told them, now y'all get to work and give her something to eat. John 11, chapter 43rd verse, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. But now after he brought life back into the corpse of Lazarus, he told Lazarus, come forth. In other words, I brought you back to life, but I'm not going to come in the tomb and get you. You got to do a little work and come out on your own. So James here is kind of letting us know that faith, yes, we have to have faith. That's the tenet of our relationship with God. But at the same time, we also have to put in work. Faith without works is dead. I'm reminded also, as I kind of move along, mankind, when God made mankind, I guess it was an example or proven in the Garden of Eden that we weren't just built to just lay around. We need to get to work and be productive. And Adam, however you feel about it, Adam proved that when he had the task of just simply laying around the Garden of Eden, tending to the garden, but I guess in his mind that wasn't enough. So because of that, he ended up getting in trouble. He was distracted, I guess, and just kind of, you know, allowed his mind to wander. So after he made the mistake in the Garden of Eden, God cast him and Eve out. And at that point, he told him, said, by the sweat of your brow, you'll eat now. It's not a deal where you sit around and a monkey will bring you an apple or, you know, you just have a grape fall in your lap. Now you got to get out and till the ground. You can still eat, but now you have to put some work behind it. So, again, faith without works is dead. But what I'm so happy about is if we do our best, God will do the rest. He say he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's with us forever until the end of the world. If we can go back to the scripture, we can pick it up at the 17th verse. Give me a few more minutes. We're not going to hold you long. But, again, going along with the theme of doing our best and God will do the rest, James here said in verse 17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Sometimes, in order for things to work and for us to kind of get to work and know where we're going, we have to accept advice. We have to be able to accept sometimes criticism. That sometimes is a work in process for all of us. But again, if we don't know the way to go, or sometimes we may be attempting to work, but if I want to clean my carpet, there's some work that I can do to be productive, and then there's work that's just work for the sake of work. If I want to clean my carpet, but I go grab a mop and a bucket, yeah, I will be doing work, but instead of being productive and accomplishing anything with that task, I'll just be making a bigger mess. So here we have faith and we have to have works. But at the same time, sometimes God will send people by our path to show us how to direct our work. Verse 18 says, yea, a man say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. What he's saying there is sometimes, yes, you can have faith, but you got to have works. There are people who are naturally talented in a given with a given skill set, and we've all gone to school maybe with that kid who was just naturally good in math or a naturally talented athlete, but because of their skill set that they're blessed with, they may not feel compelled to work as hard as the next person. Going to a popular high school, blessed with a lot of athletes throughout the years. But there's a lot of unrealized talent that had never matured itself because there are some people who say, just figure, look, I, you know, run a 40-yard dash, or I could just bench press 300 pounds, or I have a superior vertical leap, but I'm not willing to go to practice. I'm not willing to put in the work. I don't want anybody to discipline me. I'm not going to learn the playbook. I'm not going to learn. I'm not going to try to advance myself. I'm just going to take what I already have. And the world or the system or the athletic department to just buckle down and bow down to me and allow me to do what I want. And because of that, some of those people who have the natural God-given ability never realize their potential, whereas someone else who may have not been as skilled from the outset, they put in the work. They realize I have to go to practice early. I have to stay to practice late. I have to study more film. I have to maybe sleep with the playbook. Those people, in some cases, have risen to the pinnacle of their chosen sport or pursuit, while other people are just kind of on the sideline. So, again, yes, it's a blessing to be gifted, but at the same time, we also have to work our talent and craft so that we can maximize it. And again, the Lord, he works with us on that. Verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, but also the devils also believe and tremble. What James is saying here is that true enough, it's good to believe that there is one God. But he goes on in the next passage of that particular scripture and says, even the devils believe and tremble. Satan believes in God. But at the same time, Satan won't apologize for what he did. Satan's pride won't allow him to relinquish authority to God. And because of that, he was cast out. Sometimes it's hard work for us to realize we were wrong or acknowledge that we were wrong. I'm sure we've seen people, and maybe it's been us before, who we, it's just something about apologizing that for us is hard work. That's why Jesus said we must repent